Let's begin. Yesterday we were in the Pasuk Chaf Aleph. Perek Chaf Aleph, Pasuk Chaf Aleph. 21-21. Two 21s. Chaf Aleph. Reidev Tzedakah V'chesed Yim Sechayim Tzedakah V'chava. We discussed yesterday, the idea that a person needs a zechus, that he should if a person really wants to give tzedakah, the recipient should be worthy of receiving tzedakah. There's another famous one I mentioned, the Gemara is a very well-known Gemara. The Gemara says, Roidev tzedakah v'chesed, the person is Roidev tzedakah v'chesed, the end of the pasuk refers to his children. He will merit that he will have children who will be tzedakah, balei Torah, and balei Agada. Okay, the ultimate bracha is for the children. I read the Gemara. The Gemara says, "Roidev tzedakah v'chesed yimsa chaim tzedakah v'chavod amar Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon kol nisha roidev achar tzedakah havin loy bonim balei tzedakah balei Torah balei Hagada." How do we know this? Well, tzedakah minayin. The Chassid says tzedakah v'chavod. It says yimsa. Yeah. Oh, today is also the chavod of chodesh. Wow. So it's triple. Hachut hamishulash. Okay. So we have Tzedakah v'chavod. Yimsa, he will find Tzedakah v'chavod. So Tzedakah v'chavod refers to Balei Tzedakah. What else could that? Okay, Balei Torah minayin. It says here Yimsa Tzchayim Tzedakah v'chavod. Chesiv Hasam ki hu chayecha v'oirech yemecha. It's a gzeira shava. It says here chayim, and it says in reference to Torah, it is chayecha v'oirech yomecha. So we link the word chayim with chayim, and we memela, we pull with it oirech yomecha. It means long life. And how do we know there's going to be Balei Agada? This is very interesting. This is what I always found very interesting. Balei Agada, minayin, because the Balei Agada are the ones who get covered in this world. Open up the paper. Who's the one that's on the front cover of the paper? Not the big Talmidei Chachamim. The people, exactly. The people, the Magidim. The people who are the big darshanim, the big other darshan, the people who are the bigger, the motivational speakers. Motivational speakers. They clean up all the honor. So that's what it says. It's Feresh Chazal. Chazal seki chayech arei bali agad minayin el lefi ksif ha kovoid uksif kovoid chachamim yinchalu and v'chavod chachamim nimsa etzel bali ho agada, the people who are the magidim shehem dorshim u'michabdim oisam, they're the darshanim, they get the public light, they get the limelight, they're the speakers. And therefore, the Neila, to be a Baal Kavod, you have to be a Baal Agada. So that's what it says in the Gemara, Roidev Tzedakah V'chesed, a person pursues Tzedakah V'chesed, he'll be rewarded that he'll have children that will be Chayim, will have long life, Tzedakah, and not just Chayim, I mean Chayim means Balei Torah, because when it says the word Chayim in reference, Ki hu Chayecha, the Oirech Yomecha, that pasuk is said in reference to Torah. So they'll be Balei Torah, they'll be Balei Tzedakah, wealthy people that will give Tzedakah, V'chavod, and they'll be famous people, they'll be darshanim, koyach adibur, eloquent speakers. They will speak for the tzibur, and mimele, they will be the recipients of great honor. Okay, pasuk chof beis, ir giborim olo chocham, vayored oiz miv tochecha. A ear of giborim, of mighty, olo chocham. We have to read the words the other way around, backwards, olo chocham to an ir giborim. A wise man ascends to a city of mighty people, and the wise man who is chocham has the ability, vayored oiz miv techo, has the ability to take down its stronghold. Now what does that mean? Let's see first some shot in the pasuk, pasuk habeis, in the sudos, ba l'shabeach ha-chochma. Mehagvur, in this pasuk, we're coming, according to the mitzvahs, we're coming to praise wisdom over might. V'omar, hine behold, hachacham olo li'ir giborim. Look at this, a wise man, through his chachma, even if he has no weapons, has no power, but through the power of his wisdom has the ability to overturn a city of mighty people. Hine hachacham olo li'ir giborim, v'notzcham, and he prevails upon them, v'horid chayzek bit chaynam, and he can destroy their their fortifications. Asher hizchazku b'mivtzayir, which they have strengthened themselves through fortification. Through the koich of chachma, a person can overcome any obstacle, can overcome the mightiest army. It's all a matter of chachma. Okay, so let's see over here, Rashi. Here, Gibor, Rashi right away is jumping to the Medrash, and is telling us an entirely different interpretation, referring to Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu was Allah, Moshe, Allah, El, Hu, Elokim. And what did he take down with him when he came down? The Torah. The Torah is something which the Malachim felt there's no way in the world he's getting this. The Torah belongs to us, does not belong to human beings. So the Giborim here are the Malachim. I'll call you all up soon in a few moments. The Malachim. The Chacham is Moshe. The Moshe was Chacham Mikol Adam. The Chacham Moshe Rabbeinu, he went up.
The answer was with
Chachma
that you don't have
it. When you came to Avram Avinu, you ate Basa B'chalav. Anyway, you're not Mekayim the Torah. So Moshe, the Chacham here is Moshe. He went to the Ir Giborim, which means Shomayim, a place of mighty people, mighty Malachim. They're called the Giborim. Vayodi brought down Oz. Tenu Oz Lelokim. Torah is called Oz, is the might. And Moshe brought down the Torah, Mivtecha, which was the stronghold of Shamayim. Rashi, Ze Moshe, Rabbeinu, Sha'ola Lebein Hamalachim, Giborei Koyach, Vayored Torah, brought down Torah. Let me elaborate with the Medrash. The few Medrash that say come out the same thing. Klavi Minemar, who is the subject of this pasuk according to the Medrash? It is Elosh Shazenem Al Moshe Rabbeinu. The subject is Moshe. Sha'ola La Shamayim, Shekein Ir Giborim. The city of the mighty is what? Elu Hashamayim. This is heaven. Shehein Iram Shel Malachim. The heaven is the city of angels. Why are angels called Giborim? So we quoted the pasuk. Quote the pasuk. I'm jumping around here in this medrash. Giborei Koyach Oisei Divaro. The pasuk says in Tehillim that the Malachim are called the Giborei Koyach, the mighty of power who do Hashem's bidding. Who is Moshe? Who is the Chacham? Chacham is Moshe. Pashit. What is Oz? Vayored Oz Miv Techa. This is the Torah. Uminayin. How do we know the Torah is called? How do we know that Torah is called? Shnemar Hashem Oz Liamo Yitain. Okay, so this is the first Medrash, Medrash and Mishlei. Okay, there's another Medrash which come out as the same thing, but there are a few other insights. Number one, it says the reason why the Malachim are called Giborim, this is an amazing insight, is there are no female Malachim. Contrary to what it may appear on the murals in the church. What? They don't? Little boys, little girls? Yeah, little girls? No little girls? No?
What about mermaids?
Okay, go Google it. Go Google it. I'm not so sure if that's okay. Well, but here it says, and it's amazing medrash. The medrash, Vayikra Rabba, this is not an obscure medrash. Vayikra Rabba says, why is it called Giborim? Giborim is Beloshen Zohar. Now, it's not a rai, because you can refer to a group of females also Beloshen Zohar, Giborim. But the medrash says, Shekulam Givorim. We take the word Giborim and we vowelize it Gever, Givorim, men. Like restroom, the Givorim. What is the female restroom?
What's a female what?
Restroom.
Female restroom?
What?
It says women, that's all.
Noshim? And men is Givorim. Noshim is Givorim, that's what it says?
They don't have any more signs, men and women. They have a picture of a man, male. And a
they don't have any pictures, they don't have any more signs? No, I'm sure somewhere they'll have signs.
What does that mean they're males?
What?
What does that mean they're males? They're spiritual beings.
Oh, so it explains. Okay, so what does it mean? It explains. The medrash explains. This is a fascinating insight. So that a lot of the feminists, if you read the Jewish Week, they have very so often articles on the feminism. So they're very upset about that. Who says God is a male? Who says what is that? Okay, so all right, let's not go into that. The Kruvim are as a child. Could I have your male and female? That's right. Good point. The Kruvim is a little boy and a little girl.
But it doesn't represent Malachim. It represents God.
The Shechina and Klal Yisrael, like on the Shbaruch of the Shechina. Okay, it's a very good point. So what exactly? Kind of one in the Kruvim is also celestial creatures. It does, or maybe it does. I'm sure you'll find Rishonim that say the Kruvim look like Malachim. Yeah. They do. Yeah. He. He alekaini. Very good. It's kedai to come today just for that. Okay. Feel like kind. All right. So here we have here. This is what it says. What does it mean? Giborim. Don't vowelize the word as gibor. Rather, givarim. Shekulam givarim. All of the angels in heaven are givarim. They're male. Now here in the parish, it doesn't say in the medrash, but the one who wrote this, put together this the sefer that I'm reading from, he has a parish, Shekein Lamalachim, Ein Shaykh Periya Urevia. It doesn't exist the concept of reproduction. Reproduction. So Mimela, the whole, there's no such thing. That's what it says. There's no female. You don't find Malachim having children. They're not married. So that means only one kind. One size fits all. So what does that mean, male or female? So you would say it's both, right? No, it's that automatic by default. If there's no pre-urvia, the Medrash seems to say, according to his interpretation, by default that means they're male. They give. Males give. Very interesting idea. That's why nikroim malachim b'lashon zohar. Giborim, lashon of givorim, males. Allah Chacham that we mentioned is Moshe. Okay, Vayir Oz Miftochecha Torah we mentioned Hashem Ozem Oyitain. Now here in this Medrash is one more thing it says that the Medrash Mishlei omits. What's the word Mivtecha? It's stronghold. The previous Medrash just stopped. It says that Moshe brought down the Oz. He brought down the Torah. Hashem Oz Li'amo Yitain. But this Medrash says that the Torah was the Mivtach. It was the security of the Malachim. The Malachim felt that their claim to fame, their existence depended upon the fact that they have possession of the Torah. Rabbi Huda, Rabbi Chemi, Rabbi Abad, Rabbi Huda in there, Oy Suatara Mivtecha, Lufi Shebit Choinan Shel Malachim. It was the security of the angels. Shehayu suvurim shalohen nidna haTorah. The Torah was given to them. Ad she'amar lohem HaKadosh Baruch Hu, until Hashem says, v'achochma me'ayin timotzei v'losi motzei be'eretz hachayim. Until Hashem says, no, that Chochma's place is to be found in this world, release it. Relinquish your hold on Torah and give it to Moshe, give it to the human beings. So this is an amazing thing. And that means that the Malachim, that means when I call the Shbaruch, by Matan Torah, we don't appreciate this, is that in the heavenly spheres, there was a major shake-up. There was a major shake-up, and the Malachim, who had a sense of security. We all know we live in this world, the most important thing a person needs is a sense of security. To live in a country where they protect you, where you have freedom to live, where a person has money in the bank. You got money in the bank, you have a sense of security. I'll be able to survive in case I can buy food. I can take care of myself. If you don't have security, whatever security is, that's it. You can't exist. The Malachim also need to exist. The Malachim, they don't need food. What do they need? What's their security? The security was the Torah. They had the Torah, which means, now that means they had control. They had authority. When Hashem said to the Malachim, "I want you to relinquish the Torah to human beings," that shook them up. We can't even begin to imagine what that means. Can you imagine a person, you tell every single person, sorry, the banks, all the money in the bank is gone. There was a computer glitch, and all the zeros have been wiped out. No one has any money left. Can you imagine everyone going with sugar? There'll be mass suicide in this country. Chas v'shalom, something like that would happen.
Yeah, by Y2K.
I remember, sure. So people go meshuga. Go meshuga, you lose your security. The Malachim, this message is telling us they lost their minds, the Malachim. When their security was taken by Hashem telling Moshe, you have command. What does it mean? And why, this is posh, I think, what does it mean that the Torah was given away to them, to the human beings? It means that who has authority to decide halacha? Torah lav bashamayim. The interpretation of the Torah depends upon the way human beings in each generation understand the Torah. It's not dependent upon the way the Malachim. The Malachim may be on a higher madrega. We know the Gemara is machlokes in the Mishnah many times. Rabbi Meir, we don't paskin like Rabbi Meir, not because he's wrong. It's because he's so great. His mind is so deep. Ein adam yored. I'll save daita. No one can fathom the depth of his wisdom. They say this about Rav Kook. They say Rav Kook the same thing, that he was a genius beyond comprehension. And Everything he said is right. But the problem is, unfortunately, this world is not holding, the average man is not holding with his depth to appreciate his approach to Eretz Yisrael and things like that. That's what they say about him. But the Malachim, they had authority, they could make decisions, and when Torah was given to human beings, they lost that control. Okay, a second interpretation of the word Biftachecha, according to the Medrash, is Al Shebitchoina Ha'esik Ba B'Kiyuma Uvelimuda Muftach Al Yada Shlo Yinozek. The reason why it's called a Miftach is a person that studies, learns, observes Torah, he's Muftach. He is guaranteed that he will not come Lidei Avera. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will grant this very powerful Yisoid that the advantage of learning Torah is you're granted Siyata Deshmaya, that you will not come Lidei Avera. Even though doing mitzvahs and averas is told in the person's free will, we have free choice, but there is such a concept that HaKadosh Baruch Hu protects the person, he influences the person, he takes away the nisyon of some person through the decision to learn and study Torah. A person is miftochecha, miftoch. There is security that he will not come lidei aver. That's what it says here in this medrash. Very powerful yedia. Okay, and the third interpretation of the word miftochecha is from the Rabbanan in the Medrash, shekol mi sheyogea ba batuach shegoizer v'acherim mekaymen. Another very bizarre idea, hard to understand, that if a person studies Torah, Hashem gives him power. Tzadik goizer v'Hashem mekaymen. You go to a bracha from a tzadik, really you should go to a bracha from a Talmud Chacham. Because the Talmud Chacham is the only one who would says this idea. Talmud Chacham is the one that's the Miftachecha. He's granted his promise, a bitachon, a promise. If he, the tzaddik, says something has to be, it has to be. Just for some reason it came to my mind now, going close to Purim, there were certain tzaddik, and they said, I don't know if these stories are true stories or not true stories, but the idea is interesting, whether they're true or not. That there were certain very great tzaddikim that they had this koyach, that if they would give a bracha, it automatically, whatever they said came true. But they were aware of this, and they were careful not to give brachas to anyone that came to them. So there was a ma'isa shahaya, a person wanted to have a child very much. And they went to this Talmud Chacham, and he didn't give a bracha for whatever reason. He refused to give a bracha. So the person on Purim, he got dressed up in a costume, and he put on a play and to entertain. That was customary in ancient times to entertain the Rebbe, the tzaddik. And part of the play was where he was asking the Rebbe for a bracha, and he fadredled him mamish back and forth, the whole until the Rebbe should give a bracha. And he somehow convinced the Rebbe in this play to give a make believe bracha. And then he took off his mask, and the Rebbe fainted. That this person was the one that was begging him for years, give me a bracha. And here he was able to trick him into giving a bracha, like Yaakov and Esav and Yitzchak Avinu. The brachas, it says that here in this medrash, that oz mivtocha, a person who possesses the oz, who possesses the koich haTorah, his promises come true. If he tells you something is going to happen, he is granted power for it to happen. Do we have such people like that today? Maybe we do, I don't know. Such people you go to for brachas, I don't know. Okay, next halacha, next pasuk chav gimel. Shomer piv u'lashonai shomer mitzaros nafsho. A person who guards his mouth and his tongue, he is a wise man. He is shomer. He is guarding himself from the tzaros nafsho, tzaros that will come upon his neshama mitzudos. Chav gimel shomer piv mil aharbois bedvarim. Watch, don't talk too much. Shomer kol echel yabe. Siyag l'chachma shesika. Shomer kol echad yarbe amorim. Anyone that's yarbe amorim lo yechdal midaber pesha v'choytei nafsho. The more you talk, it's inevitable that you're going to say something wrong and you're going to come lidei Avera. So therefore, Shomer Piv Nafshay, Shomer Mitzaras Nafshay. There is the Rashi in this Pasuk. Okay, the Gemara over here has one very powerful, scary drasha in the Tanchum and Parshas Tazria. Don't read a word Mitzaros, but read it Mitzaras. Even though there's a Vav, I don't know how you can get rid of the Vav, but Mitzaras Nafshay, what is the punishment for Lashon Hara? Saras. So if you're Shomer Piv Ulashona, what you're really doing is, it's preventive medicine. You are being Shomer your neshama from the disease of Tsaras. Mitzaras Nafshay, which is the punishment for Lashon Hara. Okay, let's go to the next pasuk. Pasuk Chavdal. Zayd Yahir Leit Shemo. Oise Be'evras Zodom. The pasuk here is a dictionary. It's telling us that what is a leit? What is a leit? A leit is a zer yahir. Yahir means arrogance. Zayd means la zodon, to commit crime with intent. Pasuk Chavdal in Mitzudas David. Ish zodon. A man who is a evil person, does things b'mezid, he knows what he's doing, ha-misyaher, and is arrogant, b'dibur, with his speech, hine shmo ho-atzmi, I say that word right, ho-atzmi?
Yeah.
Ho-atzmi, his true name, etzem, his essence, etzem ha-davar, who lates. So, shem ho-atzmi, his true name, the essence of his neshama is a lates. Kibavur ha-gaiva, through arrogance, yilak skaf. Say it about skaf, skof, how do you spell it? Skaf, skaffer. Ha-gaiva, yilak the yisleitzeitz, b'bnei Adam, through his arrogance, he will come to mock the skaf, b'bnei Adam, period. Avlo isera b'avur ha-gaiva, hine shemo, but a person that does sins through arrogance alone, he's called an ish zodon. Okay, so we have over here two different titles. A Zayd Yahir, if we have a Yahir together with Zayd, late Shemo. But a person, he does with anger, ever is anger. He commits his crimes with Evras, I'm not really sure if the Mitzudas is telling us the end of the pasuk. One more time, the end of the pasuk. Avul ha'isa ra, ba'avur ha'gaiva, only gaiva, hine shmo ish zodon. Okay, I don't think I'm just explaining. Ish zodon, that's what, is that the next pasuk? No. Okay, so we have over here a Zayd Yahir, the combination is a leitz, and this leitz, oise, he does his averos with zodon. Rashi, Yahir, what does it mean? Yahir means gasruach, arrogance. Sofo. Yeah.
The first half,
okay.
Second half
is a zodon.
Not the same.
Now, okay. So the end of the pasuk, Oseh be'evras, you have to add a lot of interpretation to the pasuk. Oseh be'evras zodon means that he only acts with arrogance, does not act with. Oseh be'evras, person acts with arrogance, that's what he wants to translate.
Right.
Zodon, he's called a Zodon. So there's a Zayd Yahir, arrogance, and the Zayd, Zodon, late Shemo.
So the difference is Gashuach, there's no difference, the attitude that he approaches.
No, they both have Gashuach. Ish Zodon, look.
Zodon doesn't have Gashuach.
Look at this one more time. Read the whole verse again, one more time.
The difference is if he's Messiah.
Yishayah, right, which is Gasruah. Yishayah determines his Gasruah.
So there are, you want to say there are two different there's Messiah here and Gaiva? So what is the difference between your hair and Gaiva?
The Gasruach.
What's Gasruach?
A cynical approach.
Towards his arrogance in front of everybody.
And Gaiva?
He said, I'm smarter, I'm bigger.
I'm better than you, but I don't walk around saying, I'm really better than you.
So Gaiva is internal. Gaiva, I think, you're a snob. I think I'm greater than everyone. A yoyer means I let you know. That's how we wanted to translate. Okay, fine. So ish yoyer, zed yoyer, it's not just enough to be gaiva. You are yoyer, you let people know that you are superior and they are inferior. That person is called a leitz. But
mechzei kihur,
because you're doing something. You appear like Yehoira. So Yehoira means where you bring to fruition. You demonstrate your superiority.
Great, but you're nobody.
You're nobody. That's the ikker. The ikker is that you're nobody. That I'm great. That's a side point. Okay, so very good. Yashar koach.
We have a word from my grandfather.
Yeah.
Someone asks you and says, "Yeah, I'm smarter than you." So when you answer, you can say you're stupid.
Yeah.
And I'm smart. You think you're smart, but or you can say you're very smart. I'm just twice as smart.
You don't got to put him down. Just put yourself up. Okay. So yoyer is a much higher level of arrogance when you're putting down your other party. That person is called a leitz, because a leitz is exactly what a leitz is. What we always define the person that puts down someone. You take someone that is chashav, you put him down. But if a person just acts with arrogance, he doesn't put you down. He is called a zodon. One more time, the mitzudos each zodon hamisyaher bedibor. He does draw only through gaiva, not due to being yohir. He is called an ish zodon. Okay, let's go to Rashi. Rashi, we said before, yohir is gas ruach. So this is a higher level. So what is a leitz? Rashi adds some more interpretation. Leitz means he'll come to the point where he will not listen. He will not listen to Musar. Okay, let me just. I don't have it over here. Okay, the Gemara over here says. Okay, there's two memory chazal, just two memory chazal. Gemara Navo de Zara, Omer Bishim ben Lakish, Kol Hamis Leit Seitz Neifel Beganim Shenemar, Zaid Yohir Leit Shemo, Ose Be'evra Zadon, Vein Evra Elo Gehenim, Shenema Yoim Evra Hayoim. All this Gemara Navo de Zara is taking the word Evra. Okay, we had the Mitzudos, but he's telling us a new interpretation. It means the Zaid Yohir Leit Shemo, and what is the consequence? He goes to Gehenim. Ose be'evra zodon, what becomes of him is Evra, Yoim Evra, Hayoim Hahu. It's a reference to Gehenim. Okay, and then we have another Gemara also in there, in the Gemara in. That's what it's the same thing over here, Nefer Gehenim. Ein evra ela gehenim, yoim evra hayoim ahu. Okay, next pasuk. Evra vaza. This is just a Gemara. This is just one interpretation. It means it's a reference to Gehenim. Pasik chaf hey tavas otzel timisenukim me anu yodav lasos. Okay, we had this idea many times. The desire of the lazy man kills him. The person he does himself in, his own evil does himself in. Ki me anu yodav lasos, he refuses he refuses to pick himself up and accomplish something with his life, and that is what brings about his downfall. Pasuk chaf hei in the Mitzudos, tavas hamisave hatava she'otzel misave, the desire of the lazy man. What is his desire? His taiva is to rest, is to do nothing. It's a taiva to do nothing. Lanuach al mishkov, to lie on his bed. He tomes us, so that will kill him. Ki me'anu yodav lasas malacha l'spar nispa, he refuses to get a job, to do malacha to support himself. Uma im keni yoichal, what then will he eat? If he's not going to find the parnasa, what will he have to eat? Varehu meisprav, he will die in starvation. Okay, there is no mitzudos on this, let's go to the next pasuk. Pasuk Chavav Kol Hayom, his continuation. Kol Hayom Hisava Ta'ava V'tzadik Yitein V'lo Yach Soch. The entire day he has desires. The tzadik gives and does not withhold. What does that mean? Let's say the Mesudas Kol Hayom Ha'atzel Hazed. This is a continuation of the previous pasuk. This lazy man Yisava B'chol Eis L'malas Nafsho Hareka, to fill up his empty soul. V'atzadik Yitein Lo Mehoinoi V'yach So the yitin lo, v'lo yimna hanesina mimenu, ki im ki posha benafsho, and the tzaddik continuously, the tzaddik gives the lazy man, and Rashi will tell us as refers to a Kodesh Baruch Hu. Ha'otzla zeh yisave b'chol eis l'malos nafshoi hareka. V'yatzadik yitin lo imehoinu Hashem, the tzadik gives him his wealth. V'yachzor v'yitin v'lo yimone hanesina mimenu. Hashem does not, the tzadik does not withhold giving. Im ki posha b'nafsho, even though he is evil, even though he has sinned. Okay, so it basically means that Kodesh Baruch Hu is very good to this person, even though he is undeserving. Let's see what Rashi... Well, he doesn't say he's a tzaddik. Well, the Mitzvah doesn't say HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he just says tzaddik, but the tzaddik, Rashi says, tzaddik is called Tzorchei Beiso, SheHaKadosh Baruch Hu Mezamin Lo. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives a person
whatever
he needs. Now, who says we're dealing with an evil person? According to the Mitzvah, we're dealing clearly with the Otzel. And the Otzel wants the tzaddik to support him. That's what the Mitzuda seems to say. Ha'otzel hazeh yis'ave b'chol eis l'malas nafsho. There is.
Chavav.
That's what we're doing. We're doing chavav. Chavav. Kol hayom yis'ave ta'ava, the tzaddik yitein v'lo yachsoch, and does not withhold, does not withdraw. So simply, this means, according to the Mitzvah, that the Otzel wants the tzaddik to support him, and the tzaddik indeed, the tzaddik is kind and supports him, even though the Otzel is not worthy. Rashi does not say that we're dealing with an Otzel. Rashi just says kol yom mitzavetava, the entire day a person has desires. Maybe according to Rashi, it's a good desire. Sometimes tzaddikim, we have pasechas yodecho maspia lechol chai ratzoin. Hashem opens up his hand and satisfies every living creature with ratzon, with will. What does it mean with will? With what he wants? Is that correct? Does Hashem give a person everything he wants? Not necessarily. Does Hashem give a person the desire to go forward in life? Possibly. It could be that this pasuk of according to Rashi really parallels what it says in pasechas yodecho maspia lechol chai ratzon. Taiva here does not necessarily mean something bad. A person can have a taiva for something good. If a person the entire day has a yearning to come close to Kadosh Baruch Hu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the tzaddik, here refers to the tzaddik of Shalom, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will not withhold, will give him his heart's desire. Okay, it's interesting over here that we have these two words together, Hisava Tava, has a desire, it's a double expression, Hisava Tava. The only other place we have this double expression, Hisava Tava, is by the Misoinim. In the desert, the Misoinim, it says there, Hisavu Tava, they had a taiva for meat. V'nafshenu kotza balechem akalokal hazeh, our souls, they hate, detests this leman, and they his I've got the exact word of the pasuk, his avu tava, they had a desire. The repetition simply means they had a very intense desire to eat meat. But the Mefarshim tell us it means something much more than that. They had a desire to have a desire. In other words, in the desert, when the people ate meat, they ate man. The man is pure bread. They had no yetzahara. They lived a life. They were no nisyonos. You're living a life. Everything is fine and good. They had a desire to have a yetzahara. They had a hisavu ta'ava. If we eat meat, we take into our blood, into our flesh, we take the midah of an animal. An animal is kula taiva. Animal is doesn't have any seichel, doesn't have any spirituality. If your person eats meat, you get a meat. Oh, I have a taiva. The goal is to take those taivos and to channel them for avodas Hashem. Instead of letting the taiva go towards doing an avera or satisfying your own will, channel that desire to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the people in the Midbar, the Mefarshim, say they felt that their service of HaKadosh Baruch Hu was dry. We're serving you here in Kollel, we're learning Yom HaLayla, we're davening three times a day, but It's too easy. It's too easy. We want a little spice, some salt and pepper. If we'll go and we'll eat some meat, if we'll have meat, some basar, instead of having the man taken within our blood and flesh, an animal, then we'll have taivis and we'll control. There's a danger, it's a double-edged sword. On the one hand, the taiva can consume us and we can do averos, but on the other hand, we can channel that taiva to better serve you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So v'chol la'om hisavu, they had a taiva, tava. They had a taiva to have a taiva. That's what it means. And that's what the Gemara says, what?
According to the Sudas, these two psukim actually
go together. So we said that.
Right.
Which we said. So it's very difficult. The Sudas, the Pasuk Hafei is telling us that the odd cell is. And therefore, he relies upon Tzad to support him. He's on welfare. He relies upon the Tzadikim, the good people of society, to support him, which is obviously a very bad thing. But the Pasuk does say in the beginning that it's ultimately going to kill him. The odd cell, Tavas, odd cell, it's going to kill him. It's not a good thing what he's doing. But
it's not a good thing what the tzaddik's doing also.
Well,
the tzaddik should not be giving him. What's it?
Possibly, that's right.
They can get out of bed and get him. He said, you hungry? Do something. Go to work.
Okay, possibly. Possibly. That's what the Masudah is saying. Rashi doesn't... It could be Rashi agrees, but Rashi doesn't also openly say that. It could be, like I told you, Rashi is just telling him this pasuk is independent. And the taiva does not necessarily mean it's a bad thing. It could be it's a good thing. And the support to this is what it says in the pasuk by the Misoinonim. The Misoinonim, they wanted to eat basar. And according to some of the commentators, it was not a bad thing that they wanted to eat basar. They wanted to stimulate themselves with some taiva in order that they can better serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And in fact, Chazal, they actually say that they would have promised the tzaddikim, it's a good thing. David HaMelech, he said that the different tzaddikim in the Tanaim and the Gemara, they actually put themselves in the matzav of a nisayon in order to overcome the nisayon. They would go in a place of zonos.
He got punished for that. Don't put me in a
lowly day in Yisoyin, the lowly day in Bezoyin.
And he did get it, Bezoyin.
Yeah, but we today in this generation, for the last 1,000 years, it's hands down that we are mispalel the lowly day in Yisoyin, the lowly day in Bezoyin. If we come the day in Yisoyin, it's almost guaranteed we're going to come the day in Bezoyin. But in the Gemara, the time of the Tanaim, the Gemara says various stories of tzaddikim, tanoim, amoroim. They would deliberately do things in order to test their Yirah Shemayim. They would go to places, they would walk through a street where they know there would be a zona, in order to be oymed in the Nisai, not to have any hirurim, not to be nikshol, and that itself would elevate them, that heat, that the Yetzahar that they would be fighting in their body, that would be a service towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's a very bizarre thing for us to relate to in this generation, but that's what it says. So here, and that's what the Farshim tells what it means by the Misayim, Hisavu Taiva. They had a taiva to have a taiva, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave them the meat, the slav, and that's what they wanted. So here as well, you can interpret that kol yom hisavu taiva, the tzaddik yitin v'lo yachsoch, that the tzaddik, and they have a taiva to have a taiva. The tzaddik here means HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the tzaddik. Hashem indeed, listen, you want basar, you want meat, I'll give you meat, I'll give you the slav, I'll give you so much slav until you vomit, it's coming out of your nose, it's coming out of your nostrils, the pasuk says. The tzaddik yitin v'lo yachsoch.
Why would
the Pasuk
say that if they had a good motive?
What?
Why would Hashem speak up like that if their motive was good?
I don't know the answer, because maybe it's not good. It's not good for everyone. Maybe it's good for yichidim. It's not good for the hamoinam.
If you get something that's coming as a mess, the moan was definitely a mess.
Yes. So may Hashem at this point
challenge it. What do you want? A mess.
There's a time for everything. Right now, you're in the midbar. The day will come. You'll come into Eretz Yisrael. You'll have your meat. There's a time. I don't know the answer. You're asking a good question. Where do you draw the line? Where do you draw the line? When is it too good? When do you have to have? You're in this world not eat the man. You come to this world in order to struggle with Olam HaZeh, in order to elevate yourself, elevate your neshama. So where do you draw the line? I don't know. There has to be a balance. But this is definitely an idea that is brought out. Hisavu tava. Here you have the same two words together. And the tzaddik Raj tells the Kadosh Baruch Hu, he gives, v'lo yachsoch, does not withhold. And this also brings out the idea is the derech she'odom roitze leilech sham lichin oso. Whatever you want, Hashem will give you, even though it may not be for your benefit. If this this is the derech you want to take in life, nu Hashem, Hashem, yeah, that's what parents learn in these articles, these books about parenting, where a child wants to do something and it's not in the child's best interest. So many times, people's professionals advise, let the child have it. He wants to have something that's not good for him, just watch him. Let him have it. Just be with him and take him through the steps where he learns on his own that doing this thing is not for his, as long as he's not going to kill himself, but as long as he's not going to believe you that it's not for his benefit. You have to let him experience that this is not something that is good. That's what the pasuk says. Kol yom savutava. If this is really what you want and it's not good for you, I'll give it to you. You'll learn your lesson yourself. V'tzadikit hen v'loyachs, Hashem will give it, he will not withhold. Pasuk Chof Zayin, famous pasuk, Zevach Rishoim To'eva Avki Bezima Yivyenu. The sacrifice of a wicked person is an abomination. This is a very powerful word, one of the most powerful words in the Torah. Af, certainly ki bezima yivyenu, when they scheme, when it's done through zima. Zima is an evil thought. Certainly when they bring a carbon with bad intentions. The only reason why they want to bring the sacrifice to Kadosh Baruch Hu is in order to harm other people. They're offering a sacrifice as a bribe to Hashem in their perverted minds in order to conquer the tzaddikim. Let's take a look at the mitzvahs for more elaboration. Zevach Rishoim Asher Odom Birish Asam Be'es Yizbuchu HaKarbon. If they are still in a state of evil, the mitzvah is coming to ask the question. When you bring a carbon makes you into a tzaddik. A carbon brings atonement. So this is an oxymoron. How could it be a zevach of a rasha? Or a zevach was only brought by tzaddikim. A zevach turns a rasha into a tzaddik. So Rashi says it's not a kasha, because then echanami. There's such a thing as a person who's bringing a carbon when he's still a rasha. Asher Odam Berish Asam, the AC is Bukha Karbon, Kilo Shavu Hashem, they have not done Shuva. Hine a carbon hu toeva. If a person brings a carbon and does not accompany the carbon by doing teshuva, doing smicha and saying vidui and having real remorse, then the sacrifice is an abomination. Afki v'kol shekein shetoevihi kasher yaviu b'machshava ra l'ramois esabrios, to deceive human beings, l'yachshiva l'atzadik v'zoveach l'elokim, and they sacrifice to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So there are two different types of abominations. Number one is when a person is really a rasha and he's bringing the carbon only for show, only to deceive people. That certainly is an abomination. That's the af, kol shekein. But yet it's a bigger chiddush. Even if I'm not bringing it to deceive. No one even knows I'm bringing a carbon. But my carbon is lip service. I'm not doing shuva. I did an avera. Okay, I'll write out a check. I'll write out a check to the Beis Hamikdash, or for on my behalf, a carbon that's worth $1,000, and all this forgiven. You couldn't care less about being forgiven. If you really want to be forgiven, you have to do tshuva, you have to clap al chait, you have to fast, you have to work on yourself. That doesn't help. Writing out a check and it's offering a carbon, that's also a to'eva. Goes without saying, if you're bringing the carbon, you're giving a check of $1,000 in order to be honored by an institution for kavod, and you couldn't care less about HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's pashut, that is an abomination. But even if it's something that's between you and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but you're not doing tshuva, that is also considered to be abomination. That is what it says over here in the parish of the Mitzudas. In other words, it's bal tashchis. It's a good animal, and what right do you have? Animal rights. What right do you have to sacrifice, take the life of a good, hard working animal? Why are you better? Why is man better than an animal? If the animal is coming to serve Kodesh Baruch Hu, then it's better. But if the animal is not, then you have no right. Let's take a look at Rashi. Rashi pasuk chavav avki bezima yivyenu kol shekein kashu mevil leharshiyai, when he brings it for his wickedness, uve eitzara What's his wickedness? It means an Eitzarach, a Goyin, Karbonos, Bilam, Ubolok, Shlohayu, Mevim, Elo, Lekalil, Es Yisrael. Rashi is saying something deeper than Mitzudos, not just that you bring it to show off. Worse, you're bringing it to bribe HaKadosh Baruch Hu in your perverted mind, so that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should curse the Tzadikim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu should bring harm upon the Tzadikim, reference to Bilam and Bolok. Okay, now this...
You can't give tzedakah on the last that this guy dropped dead?
Exactly. That's exactly what Rashi says. But even worse, you can't even bring a carbon if just to show off. Many people do that. You just give money to tzedakah because of peer pressure. If my friend is giving $1,000, I also have to keep up with the Joneses and be an honorable person in society and give $1,000, even though I couldn't care less about this institution. And if I could have my way, I would have it shut down.
But they announce it out loud. Obviously, that's the purpose.
They're putting pressure. Because we are all over the assumption that the pintle yid, that even the person gives tzedakah, we're all good people. And deep down inside, even though maybe we're doing it 95% shaloi lishma, the 5% that we're doing it lishma is good. Mitach shaloi lishma, ba lishma. Here he's discussing when it's 100% shaloi lishma. I do not want to give money. I'm only giving money 100% l'shaloi l'shma. That is considered a to'eva before HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But when you're giving it a little bit l'shma, okay, every person that gives tzedakah, you give to a certain organization. I don't like this organization. I don't hold from them whatsoever. I don't agree. They've done to me terrible things. They've ruined my life. Okay. But there's a little good. There's a little good in them. I recognize. So that little l'shma, that covers, that takes care of everything. Okay, now we have this famous Gemara that Yilamadeinu Rabbeinu Goy Shehevi Karban Ma'u Lekabel Himenu Elokach Shaninu Rabbeinu Nedavos Mekablim Min HaGoyim Min HaGoy VeKarbanos Ein Mekablim Mehem Lama B'bnei SheKarbanos Same Psulim VeKadosh Baruch Hu Zevach Rishoyim Toyev. Now that you accept a Karban. Okay, this is a hard gemara because, okay, where do you draw the line? Where do you draw the line to allow to accept donations from non-Jews? This is a big debate. Accepting money from non-Jewish institutions, are they allowed to accept money from questionable sources? Let's say someone owns a casino and they want to give a large donation to the yeshiva. Or someone owns a...
You said that yesterday.
What?
So you build nice bathrooms and dedicate it to the...
All right, that's let's say... What? Nefesh from the Christians.
Yeah.
Okay, so that in Echanami, first of all, they claim today, Nefesh per Nefesh, I read this, they claim that the big money is not coming from the Christians anymore. Not anymore.
Of course it's coming.
What? Yeah?
Of course it's coming.
So maybe they're trying to... And that's what I read. They said that it's not true. They got a lot of flack. Got a lot of flack to the money. This idea. It's not... This idea that the only... Why they... What is the idea? Because they believe that the second coming... The second coming can't come until the Jews return to their land. So it's really... It's all... Yeah.
Take it now when it comes
down.
Right.
You need Malcolm Holman to say that. Everyone can say that. Everyone says the same thing. Okay, so that is a very big debate. Are you lacking? Let's say, you know, yeshiva, everyone knows the famous story, it's Barbara Streisand. She gave a large donation to yeshiva of Brooklyn. Yeshiva Brooklyn. Aradel will not take it. Why? Because she was a student, one of the derech. This is not the type of student. Let's say Barbara Streisand would not have gone to yeshiva Brooklyn. And she just, on her own, would want to give a donation to yeshiva Brooklyn. He probably would accept it. I don't know. I don't know what he would do. I can't suppose to say, but that's a whole different type of story, because this is the pretty much the idea of Moshe's Law of Truth. I don't know all the details, is that when their name is on a building, when you walk in the street and their name is the casinos of America have sponsored this building, that already gives them pride, and it's a Chil Hashem. When the money somehow is, I don't want to use the word,
they just had a big
laundered.
Yes,
clean, yeah.
Sold their property for a casino.
Yeah, they sold their property for a casino. They sold it. That's a different thing.
There's but all the other camps around petitioned and asked and got a Golgari.
Okay, but that's because the influence.
Right in the middle of the other.
That's because they don't want they don't want the client. They don't want the in the neighborhood. They don't want the neighborhood to go to turn into right. That's not because of the money. Look, there's a halacha. You're allowed to sell a shul to a church. Let's say so. All you're allowed to sell is a very big shiloh, but let's say you do it in the middle. You sell first to a private. So there are a lot of heterim for this, to go to find a way to sell. That's a different issue. We're talking about when a person is receiving a donation from a non-Jewish, from non-Jewish sources.
Not from Jews.
So that's a very big debate, and the basic is so that I think most people is that if you're not allowed to take money from a non-Jew or from questionable sources, where it's going to be the Pearson, it's going to be the name is going to be on the building, it's going to set an example. But when it's not done in that way, where it's I don't even really know. It's not even so clear why.
It is Chaim Berlin.
Then I don't know. This is very questionable. What?
I don't even know if it came to
what?
It's
33rd Street.
What?
Barbara Streisand. There's a plaque in there.
Is the plaque still there? I don't think so.
Appearance.
There's a plaque. There used to be a plaque on the seats that this seat belonged to the Streisand.
I think there's a yard sale plaque.
Okay, so that's appearance.
She has a mausoleum in Mount Deborah.
Which one?
Across the street from Vilga,
it's a very big nesayin to fundraising. One thing, all the big books say is that money that comes from these type of sources, you'll never see a simin bracha. Yeah, it's very good. You got a big donation. What?
And the money that comes from stealing?
So that's also certainly alachas kam v'kama. You're not going to see a simin bracha. Alachas kam v'kama.
Because they were stealing all kinds of tenants.
100% alachas kam v'kama. Money.
But no one says a word about that.
That's the problem. Money that comes is easier said than when you're in the fundraising business and you have to struggle to raise a few dollars. It's the sign is so great.
The Rosh Hashiva from here would fly to Switzerland to pick up his $100,000.
Rav David Cohen Shul was built with that money.
I'm telling you, the Rosh Hashiva from here would fly into Switzerland just to pick up a check for $100,000 from me.
Wow.
He wouldn't send the check. He said, "You want the check? Of course, come." And he flew in.
Yeah. All right. Not to judge. The tzaddik, okay, let's go faster. Zevach. Okay.
She wanted to be a yeshiva above.
She left the fold. You're right. Why is she so horrible? I agree with you. The only thing is because she left. She is.
Yeah.
It's where she came from. That's the problem.
She's no longer Shem Shabbos.
She came from a firm family and they left. If she wasn't from to begin with, then she's a big movie star. Okay, so, but when you know better, you come from a firm family, and because you're such a public, you're a public figure, look, she earns an honest living. That's a lot better than 99% of the donations. It's a lot better than a lot of money that comes in. Earn honestly. So it's gewaldig. What more do you want? The Gemara talks about people that are mesamech other people. So what, the goyim, you don't have to judge a goy or people that are not religious, they have not a firm background with the standards of Orthodox Shomer Shabbos. There are different standards among the goyim. And you earn the money honestly, you work hard, you earn the what's so terrible? Much better than people that do the involve all the shtick and geneva and cheating the government. So the only thing is, it sets a very bad example for every student who walks in that this building was built by so-and-so, and she was once a student here, and she was a firm person, just like every single person in this classroom, wearing a uniform, I don't know, uniforms on this, and she went off the derech. She went off the derech, and now it's a very...
No one would know. They would have the money.
Everyone knows. People are not so naive. Not everyone is so naive. From people know, and they know, unfortunately, they know a lot more than the guy. Okay, but still, yeah. Okay, so was Coed, so what? They were Shomer Shabbos. What?
Doesn't want you to remember that Yeshiva Brooklyn went to Coed schools.
I don't know. I don't know.
I didn't know.
I don't think she was.
We're not so naive. People are not so naive. What?
They were maybe traditional. They weren't Orthodox when she went. And Mandel didn't want people to realize that this yeshiva is. Which the girls...
I don't know what Mandel... I don't know, but it's not such a hard svara to understand that you're proud... You have a yeshiva, you're trying to produce a certain type of student. And if the student doesn't turn out the way you like, it's not something you're proud of. And it's not something you want to advertise and promote.
And
what is the purpose of the yeshiva? Yeshiva, the purpose is that everyone should come out of town.
No, you should be a Shomer Shabbos.
And if it doesn't happen, that says...
Okay, so it doesn't happen. So, but you should be a Shomer Shabbos. I'm not talking about it. I told you, I make an honest living. She makes an honest living.
Right.
That's the head of the game. You're ahead of 99% of the donations. What more do you want? But there's another problem, that is something called being a Shomer Shabbos. No? This is the yukar.
When Dr. Goldstein killed the guy,
yeah.
This,
Baruch, yeah. Yeah.
Dr. Baruch Goldstein.
Okay,
so they
yeah.
wanted to say, oh, look where he comes from, Yeshiva Flatbush, it reflects the Yeshiva Flatbush. It doesn't reflect that.
It doesn't. It doesn't reflect the Yeshiva Flatbush. It's right, it doesn't. 100%, it doesn't. It's not 100%.
You have guys who went to Sodom who came
up. It doesn't reflect.
Who changed the names.
I don't know. I'm just theorizing. I don't know what he's thinking, but it's not.
But
this is the partial thing.
That makes a lot of sense. You don't want to remind people.
Oh, come on.
A yeshiva that took in everybody. We took
boys
and sat together. You know?
I don't think anyone's so naive to think like that.
Listen, Bertel was a kanoi. Afterwards. He was a real kanai.
Okay, let's go further. Let us go... Extremist. Extremist.
Zealot.
Let's go further. Pasik Chavches. Eid Kizavim Yoved V'Ishamil L'Netzach Yidaber. Okay, let's try to finish up. Maybe finish up with the Pesukim. A few more Pesukim. Okay, I want to finish up. Eid Kizavim Yoved V'Ishamil L'Netzach Yidaber. Pasik Chavches. Mitzudustavid Yoved. A false witness will be destroyed. Af im lo yuzam bebezim v'lo kibel oynish mikamakum yoved bidei shemayim. Pasuk, according to the Mitzvah, is telling us that Hashem runs this world, and a false witness, even if he will not be found to be false, will be discovered in heaven. Hakadosh Baruch Hu will make sure that he will be destroyed. The ishemayim ratzolaymar the im ki yoved ho eid hahu ba'avur oynish kizavav he ney devarav lo nevdu lishakach min halev his words will not be forgotten. Ki kol ish hashmei devar yisaprem ad oylam. They will always repeat what he said. B'chashvay ki emes hu. They'll always think that his words are true. It's just describing over here the sad reality that his words. People will all will, his words will be recorded forever as being true. That he'll.
No one sees the apology of the New York Times.
His words will be heard that are being true, and even though he's a liar, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu will be yoved, nevertheless, say one more time these words. Even though HaKadosh Baruch Hu will bring about his downfall, Bavur Oynish Kezava, for the punishment for his lies, Hine Devarav Loinevdu Lehishakeach Min Halev. His words will not be forgotten. Ki Kol Ish Hashmeh Devaroi. Yisaprim ad oylam b'choshvoy, they will think ki emesu, very scary thing that people will always, his words will always remain forever recorded as being true. Let's see what it says over here in the Rashi. I left out the Rashi pasuk of Zayin. Let's go back to Rashi pasuk of Zayin. Afki bezima yivienu v'kol shkin kshu meviyo le. We did that pasuk of Ches Rashi v'ishamea shekibul mashakasa b'tora loisane bereyacha. He will get the ishemeya shekibel masha kosov
bat. The Torah says loisane
bereyacha.
Loisane bereyacha, and you were over on Kabbalah.
No. This is Rashi's learning that two pairs of the pasuk are separate.
The ishomer shekibul mashakos the betara lo sanabriachol lo netzach.
He's an ishomer. He was
He will live. Lanetzach Yidaber. He will live on. He will speak forever. Okay. So we're contrasting. Rashi is contrasting two parts. We have a liar. A liar will be destroyed. But the Ish Shomea, a person that listened carefully to the Aseres Hadibros, Lesane Briacha Eid Shoker, Lanetzach Yidaber. He will live on forever. He will be have the Koyach Hadibur will exist in him forever. Let's go.
And Sudas is more realistic. He's saying, you know, if you hear something, it's very hard to get it out of your heart.
He's saying what, exactly what you said. There are people out there in this world that have perpetuated lies. And their lies continue to exist to the end of time. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu took care of them. They're gone. They're gone, they're destroyed, they're in Gehenna, they suffered, their family suffered. But yet, the accomplishments of their lies live on. That's what the Mitzvah says. A very frightening thing.
They keep producing new lies.
What? It lives on. A lie has a life of its own. Their lies are perpetuated forever. Look at Hitler, Yimach Shema. The richest of Hitler is still out there in the world. There are many people that support Hitler. It's shocking what's going on in the world. And they're using him. They're using him 70 years later. So the Ishmael, the people that listen to him, they're still going strong. And what happened to Hitler? He's long dead. He's gone. His people are gone. They're all dead. They're all in the grave. They're all gone. But the evil that he has done in this world lives on. That's what the Mitzvah seems to be saying. To some degree, Rashi doesn't go that direction. Rashi says there are two different things. There's an ish kezav and yoyved, and ish shemek l'tnezach yidaber. Okay, one more pasuk is ish rasha befanav, the yasha who yachin yavin who yavin darkai. A lot of kriyach sifts. Let's see the mitzvahs for ace. Harasha mare azuso beis kaso. Hayes means arrogance. Hayes ish rasha befanav. The arrogance of the Rasha can be seen on his face. Harasha Mare, the evil man, he shows Azuso, his arrogance, his chutzpah, be'ez kaso, v'lo yisboinin b'masav, and does not pay attention to his deeds. He doesn't care what the people think. Aval hayoshar, the yoshar, yovin dargo b'chol eis, he's always paying close attention to his deeds, af b'zman hakas, even when he gets angry. In other words, yoshar is always in control. A rasha is not in control. He loses himself in his rage. Pasuk of test in the Rashi, Eis Ish Rasha Bafanov, Harasha Mare Azuso, he shows his chutzpah, the Eis Kasa at the time of anger. Whereas a Yashar, he's Yavin Darko, Bafanov, Beloshan Af, in the previous part of Pasuk, Bafanov means Beloshan Af. Eis Ish Rasha Bafanov, when the Rasha is Bafanov at the time of anger, the Azus, the chutzpah comes out. And the yashar, yavin darko. You always see this, that people, you can hide your bad nature, your bad midos. But when someone gets angry, then it all comes out. You see this ever so often, the person's true sense, the ugliness, when they're under pressure and they get angry, the ugliness that they're covering, they're camouflaging, they're disguising, it comes out. But a yashar, a person that's a yashar, even when it's under a lot of pressure, a lot of stress, yavin darko, he's able to control himself and does not let things get carried away. All right, we'll stop over here.